Pretty powerful stuff, huh? Really tough act to follow. Thank you. Let's give a hand once again to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and their boldness, their willingness to share with us this morning. I'm just going to be a couple minutes here, but I want to look at God's word for just a few moments and pray that God's word, as we look at it encourages all of us here today. But have you ever been told something that seems too good to be true? Maybe you were given a promise that didn't quite deliver. You know, a lot of infomercials are that way, right? You're watching television, they say, buy this product, buy this one thing, it will change your life forever. You will never be the same. And so you get suckered in, you buy the product, you wait for it, it comes to your house, you open up the package, you test out the product, only to realize, oh wait, doesn't quite work like the infomercial said it would. And maybe you're a little disappointed because the promise didn't come through as you hoped it would. And currently we're in a sermon series here at Hope Church that we've titled The Promise of the Messiah, and we're walking through the Old Testament and we're looking at how time and time again God promised his people that a redeemer, a messiah, a rescuer, a savior would come to earth, and that savior is Jesus. And today we're talking about Abraham for just a few minutes. And when you think about Abraham, there's some things that come to mind, right? For a lot of us who grew up in Sunday school, we know that song. Some of us love it. Some of us probably find it kind of annoying. Father Abraham had many sons, right? So we know that Father Abraham had many sons. We also know that God gave him great faith to believe in the promises. We know that he was a man of obedience, because he was even willing to sacrifice his own son. And God promised that to Abraham that the Messiah would come through him. We find this promise in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. So you can follow along in your Bibles. You also see the passage of Scripture up on the screens. But here's the call that God gives to Abram, who then becomes Abraham. We don't have time to look at how God changes his name, but Abram, Abraham are the same person. So here's Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now talk about an amazing set of promises. And I wonder if as Abraham gives this call, or call, God gives this call to Abraham, I wonder if Abraham thinks, wait, God, are you sure about that? I mean, this sounds a little too good to be true. You're going to bless those who bless me. You're going to give me all this land. You're going to make my name great. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through me. But these promises were true. Because unlike infomercials, God is a God who always delivers on his promises. And we don't have time to look at the whole story of Abraham. But as we read on in Genesis, we see that God establishes a covenant with him. And all the promises of the covenant come to be fulfilled. The most important one being all nations, all peoples of the earth being blessed through him. We find this fulfillment in Galatians 3, verse 16. You'll see it on the screens. It says this. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. So God makes this incredible promise to Abraham. And thousands of years later, he delivers and fulfills the promise through Christ and his death and resurrection, so that all who would believe and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior would be rescued from sin and death and brought into life both now and for eternity. And all of us who are in Christ, please don't miss this, but all of us who are in Christ, who have come to a saving faith in Jesus, we are heirs of the promise God made to Abraham. It sure beats the promise of an infomercial, doesn't it? Yeah. And there's a whole lot that we can learn from the story of Abraham, but as I was thinking of the story, and again, we only have a few minutes this morning, there are two themes that came to mind, and our brothers and sisters from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge have already heard this, but I hope these themes really encourage us this morning, these key ideas. The first one is this: God called Abraham. This is important. God called him. You see, Abraham didn't find God. He didn't go looking for him in different places. He didn't climb up to God. What happened? God came to Abraham. God calls Abram out of a life of sin. Most likely before God calls him, he was following the ways of his ancestors, worshiping idols of the family. Yet God calls him out of this life of sin. And when he calls him, he was no one special. Or he hadn't done anything noteworthy. He hadn't written some great novel. He didn't lead these great military campaigns. He didn't invent anything. He really was a nobody, just wandering around, probably watching some sheep. And God calls him. I was doing some studying for today, and I came across this quote. It's actually from a confirmation book that we use with our students. And I have to share it, so you'll see it on the screens. Here's the quote. Abraham had done nothing to make himself worthy of being called by God. Abraham did nothing to make himself worthy, yet God chose Abram, who becomes Abraham. He called him. God took Abraham to himself in love and forgiveness. In mercy, God chose him and made a covenant of grace with him to send a savior for all people. And in the same way, God reaches down to each and every one of us, even when we weren't worthy. We're not worthy, church. But it's because of his great love for us that he reaches down to us and he offers us grace, mercy, forgiveness. And I love having our brothers and sisters from Teen Challenge here because it's a reminder, their stories, their testimonies. And thank you again for sharing. But it's a reminder of the grace, the love, the mercy God has for each and every one of us. I love Ephesians chapter 2. It's a great passage of scripture. We don't have time to look at all of it this morning, but verses 1 through 3 are kind of depressing. And if you know Ephesians 2, you know what I'm talking about, right? It says that we were all dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were separated from God. We had no hope. We were giving into the lusts and the desires of the flesh. Not a very great place to be in, right? But praise God that Ephesians 2 does not end with verse 3, because look at what comes next, verse 4 and 5. But God being rich in mercy. I think these are some of the greatest verses, words in all of Scripture. But God. And look, I know we have a lot to get excited about, right? There's a big football game tonight when the Vikings are going to destroy the Bears, right? We can get excited about that. But that's temporal, right? I mean, if we really want to get excited about something, let's get excited about this verse here. But God being rich in mercy, amen? Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And just like Abraham, even when we weren't worthy, God reached down to us and through Christ offers us grace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption. The second key theme for us is this: God remains faithful. God remains faithful despite our shortcomings and our failures. And so God, he calls Abraham to follow him. He makes a covenant with him. He blesses him and he gives him these incredible promises. And if you read through Genesis, you realize that Abraham, he makes plenty of mistakes along the way. He doesn't always demonstrate trust in God's ability to protect him. There's this time where he goes to Egypt and he's married to Sarah. And instead of saying that Sarah is his wife, he says, she's my sister, right? Imagine that conversation a little later on. I'm your what? You know? And so he gives his wife over to Pharaoh. And a whole big thing happens. God's not happy about it, all that. But man, he lies. He straight up lies, right? He puts trust in things he shouldn't. He tries to take matters into his own hands. He listens to some unwise advice. Abraham was far from perfect. He made plenty of mistakes along the way. But here's what we need to understand. God's love for him, promised in the covenant, it was constant. It was sure. God never gave up on Abraham. God remained faithful to his promise. And the same is true for you and me. You see, none of us are perfect. We're all walking in this journey of sanctification, of becoming more like Christ. And as we grow in our walk, in our relationship with Christ, there will be times when we fail. There will be setbacks in our lives. Yet God's love, His mercy, His grace towards us is constant. Church, it's constant. And He remains faithful. He's there walking beside us, giving us the grace, the mercy, the strength we need to live as He's called us to live. So I have three children. I have two boys, almost 8-year-old. Got to remember that. He's 8 next month. I got a 5-year-old and then my daughter who is about 2.5. And I love all three of my children equally, right? But having a little daughter, it just, dads know this, it kind of tugs at your heartstrings a little bit different, right? And so I remember when my daughter, Eliana, she was learning to walk. She was probably about a year or so. And, you know, she'd take a few steps and she'd fall down. She'd take a couple more steps and fall down and we'd be cheering her on. And, you know, those moments when she fell, and sometimes she took some pretty hard falls. But those moments when she fell, as a dad, I never ran over to my daughter and said, Eliana, what are you doing? Eliana, you're such a failure. You disappointed me. Get out. You're no longer part of this family. That wasn't my reaction. Yet how many of us think when we stumble, when we fall, God is there saying, what are you doing? I'm so disappointed in you. Get out. Now listen. God hates sin, right? He does. Sin separates us from God, yet God sent Jesus to be the remedy for our sin. So if we're in Christ, I believe when we stumble, when we fall, when we come to Him in repentance, He's there like a dad, as I was with my daughter, willing to pick her up. If she had some owies, right, I'd kiss those little owies. I'd encourage her. I'd put her back down and said, Eliana, you got this. You can take another step towards me. And I believe God does the same thing. He says, listen, I'm here for you. I'm cheering you on. Let me give you the strength, the mercy, the grace you need to become the person I've called you to be. Hebrews 12:2. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And it says this, we'll close with this morning, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Some versions say, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith. Now that word, perfecter, it's important because it means the one who completes, which means that God isn't finished with us yet. Amen. He hasn't given up on us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's given us the grace, the mercy, the courage we need to become the people He's called us to be. I love Philippians 1:6, which says this, he who began a good work, amen, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. So my prayer for us this morning, for our brothers and sisters here from Teen Challenge, for all of us who are here, is that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who has called us, the one who has chosen us, the one who is faithful, and the one who, despite our shortcomings, our failures, he never gives up on us, because he who began that good work, he will complete it. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father, once again, we thank you this morning for our brothers and sisters here who shared with boldness, who shared with honesty about the hope, about the redemption, about the healing they are finding through a relationship with you. Jesus, we pray that you would encourage each and every one who is here. Father, in those moments of frustration, maybe in those moments of some setbacks, God, I pray that they would run to your word, that they would run to the cross, that they wouldn't rely on their own strength and their own power at work within them, but rather they would look to you as the founder
as a perfecter of their faith, as the one who is completing a great work in them. So Jesus, help us. And we all fix our eyes on you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you are a God who is faithful. We pray all this in your beautiful name. Again, all God's people said, amen. Amen.